పీడన వల్లభ గిరివరదాని యశోదనందన వ్రజ జన రంజన యశోరనందన వ్రజ జన రంజన వనచారి యమునా తీరా వనచారి గోపీనాథ రాధా గోపీనాథ శ్రీ రాధే హరే కృష్ణ. థ్యాంక్ యూ. As you all know, today is the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and also that of Gadadhara Pandit, I understand. Good. So, I thought to speak mainly about Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the short time which we have and focus on one aspect of his work, that is his amazing song collection of the Sharanagati prayers. And I believe it will become very useful for you to hear this, as it was extremely useful for myself to prepare these thoughts which I or perspectives which I wish to share with you. So, keeping to the format of our lectures, I've chosen one verse first, and then we will discuss this a little bit. Let me just see that I have this clear here. Yes. Yes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sharanagatera Akinchanera Ekai Lakshana Tara Madhye Praveshaye Atma Sarmapana. Sharana gatera akinchanera. You know, at a time when everything leaves you, you are only left with one thing. You surrender to the Lord. So I don't remember any melody at the moment, I hope. Krishna, Krishna. Yeah. Sharanagatera kanchanera ekai lakshana Sharanagatera kanchanera ekai lakshana taramatya praveshaya atma samapana Anye praveshaya atma samapana Sharanagatera kincha nera ekai lakshana Sharanagatera akincha nera ekai lakshana Taramadye praveshaya atma samapana Taramadye praveshaya atma samapana Sharanagatera kanchanera ekai lakshana Sharanagatera kanchanera ekai lakshana Taramatye praveshaya atma samapana Sharanagatera kinchanera
Taramati praveshaya atma samarpana
Taramati praveshaya atma samarpana
One Mataji, maybe? I admit it's not that easy, yes. No problem. Sharanagatera. Of a person who has fully taken shelter of Krishna. Akinchanera. Of a person who is free of all material desires. Ekai lakshana.
Ekai lakshana.
The symptoms are one and the same. Taramatye. Of them all. Praveshaye.
Enters.
Atma Samapan. Full surrender. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satayane Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Govata Vinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay. Hare Krishna. In order to glorify a great Acharya, there are various ways our glorification can take, and I would like to use one that is to glorify his legacy, what he left behind, because it is in these items, that is what is left behind, the wisdom, the literature, where we can take full shelter and experience the full benefit, really, of the great Acharya. I remember in Christianity there is an interesting, really interesting point. It is at the, I think it really is good that we hear it in some detail. Pontius of Pilatus was forced, due to political considerations, to condemn Jesus to death, although he personally felt he's innocent and it is not necessary. He had tried to avoid this, but his situation was like this. He represented the Roman state in Palestina, and he needed peace amongst the populace in order to rule. The priestly class, which was highly influential, were so disturbed by Jesus' presentation of the religion that they were insistent that Pontius of Pilatus, who was the representative of the Roman rule over Palestina, would have him executed. They just saw no ways to deal with his revolutionary way of spreading God consciousness. So Pontius Pilatus happened to be a very intelligent man. So in his final meeting with Jesus, the death sentence was already pronounced. He asked him in great exasperation, I know I don't want to do it. I have to do it, however, in order for the greater good to rule this country. And I'm asking you now a question. When will you be more influential and people will be more disturbed by you? When you are alive or when you are dead? You might think, well, what can a dead man do? Very much, much more than a living man in some cases. Because if a person has left a legacy of wisdom, then that will outlive him by many, many long years and be more influential even than he was at the time of his life when he spoke his wisdom. So we all know that Pontius Pilatus' question was justified, and in fact, due to Jesus' personality and his preaching and his recorded words, a very influential, maybe one of the most influential religions on this earth was founded, Christianity, which is based on his sayings to a large degree, because his teachings in the New Testament have overruled the teachings of the previous version of Christianity, which is depicted in the Old Testament. It's much more influential, much more vibrant. So in the same way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's glorious life finds really his culmination in his legacy, which continues to influence generations of devotees in a very nice way. Before we hear the verse, because the verse will bring us directly into his legacy, please, before we hear the translation, I wanted to say, please allow me to just give you a brief sum up of his life in a sincere attempt to glorify Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur today. When he appeared, it was in a little village, and as a little child, he took great interest in spirituality. He remembers in his autobiography, when he was around 8 years or so, he was afraid, they stayed in a larger house, he was afraid of ghosts. That's typical for children. I also had great problems with ghosts when I was a child. I think I imagined them to be there, but whatever, I was scared in the night. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur then went to a guard who guarded the apple plantation or some fruit tree, I don't know what. Maybe it was mango. I think it was mango, not apple. And he asked the guard what to do when one is afraid. And the guard said, he was a night guard, he said, well, I chant the name of Ram. And chanting the name of Ram makes one fearless. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur learned at an early age to take fully shelter at the holy name. And we all know his writings and his workings is very much about the holy name. Maybe a seed, I don't want to say it was laid there, because we understand him to be an eternally liberated soul. But there, in very young age, he took absolute shelter in the holy name. And if you, did you have ghost problems as a child? No, yes, middle, sometimes, no? Or we are afraid of something, we are scared to go in the night through the forest. As a child, I would challenge myself. I would get up at 12 o'clock and then go through the little empty streets to just harden myself against fear. So anyways, this is normal for children to deal with fears in some ways. Later he became the revolutionary preacher of the holy name who spread a network of chanting throughout Bengal, which he called the Namhata system, which was largely based on people coming together and chanting the holy name with Madanga and Karatals. And he, a large part of his writing is dedicated to presenting the glories of the holy name. Did you know that he made a research? It's to him a research about the Namacharya Haridas Thakur. He tried to find literature which was written by those who had come in contact with Haridas Thakur, who had seen the great Acharya of the holy name chanting the whole day and night the holy name. And it is said that Haridas Thakur, in between, when people came to look for his advice, told them the glories of his holy, of the holy names. Based on this tremendous body of research, Bhaktivinod Thakur wrote later the book, can you imagine? Harinam Chintamani, yes, where he records a conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur. How did he know the Thakur's answers and versions to particular questions? Well, he had done this research where he had extracted the last existing traces, so to say, of what the Namacharya had left. He wrote a sequel to Harinam Chintamani. Do you know the name of it? Bhajan Rahasya, in which he went even many levels deeper into the explaining the holy name by writing a guidebook how a devotee can be absorbed throughout the 24 hours of the day in the holy name by following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions and combining ultimately, and that's the treasure of our sampradaya, the chanting with a memory or memorizing or remembering or thinking of the exalted pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. Yes, a great presenter of the glories of the holy name. That's one way to glorify Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He writes about this aspect of his, of the cosmos of his contribution, many contributions, that he had made a novel endeavor to spread the chanting of the holy name as the Yuga Dharma throughout the country. And he was very successful. He writes, yogis, intellectuals and Mayavadis were chanting due to the Namhata effect. It was such a powerful presence. But then, alas, 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 he laments, the Kali took over, and where once everyone chanted, he felt again this yogic and Mayavadi interpretations of the Vedas took over, and in great inner Zerknirschung is the German word. I think it says what it means, you know. He was really zerknirscht. You can, you are intelligent people, you can hear the sound and know what it means. It's really it's great sadness is an easy way to explain it. contrition. Contrition is the English word. He went to Puri to take shelter, and he said, as he was chanting, in great remorsefulness, my mission has failed. Gauranga Mahaprabhu actually appeared to him personally on the beach of Puri and instructed him, O Bhakti Vinod, do not be sad. Everything will come in order. Now you go and you focus entirely on chanting. And then Bhakti Vinod Thakur locked the door of a little kutia behind himself, and he took entire shelter in the holy name. He was really, there is a plaque on that bhajan kutir. Here a soul, a Kinshan soul, has taken shelter to exclusively dedicate himself to the chanting of the holy name. It is this one aspect of Bhaktivinoda Thakur which I would like to highlight, and it is also this tip which I would like to give to some of you. I remember listening to a conversation which Prabhupada had with very, very disenchanted disciples who felt very frustrated. I don't know why, but they came to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada offered them a solution which I would like to offer you also, following this great Acharya Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When you find yourself in a situation where you cannot solve the complexities of your existence, when you are overwhelmed with sorrow, or when you are unclear where to go in your life, should you go or should you stay, at that time, it is this is the advice for you. Go before the deities, go before the Lord, and sit down and chant, and don't get up before you have the solution. Hare Krishna. This is taking shelter. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life story is one of taking shelter. He had a very difficult task. He needed to single-handedly, just imagine this, to bring the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again to the surface. Because, like it is natural for Kali Yuga, it had been totally covered. Yes, the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had fallen in disrepute. Yes, there was a bad feeling about the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It helps people to escape their responsibility, blah, 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 blah. Same story as today. So he brought the movement and its pristine teachings to the forefront by his amazing scholarship, but more than that, his absolute devotion and surrender to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He says it was not always like this. If we believe his own words, he says he was fully steeped in the studies of intellectual scriptures, but then he met a Vaishnava who alerted him to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, and he searched and finally found a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yes, it was no longer on the market. It was fallen in disrepute. You couldn't get the forbidden Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengal. Hare Krishna. Maya. And he got a copy. He became convinced and became the only single preacher at that time to spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement in a glorious way. in a most glorious way. He was well educated at that time, and he became was so respected by the English men that he became a high court judge on the external feature. One English gentleman, Mr. Hastings, really highly placed man, said this: Kedarnath Datta has an impeccable character, and he was highly, highly placed. Can you imagine? And in his writing, he always took care to make a bridge between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and the highly educated people. Now, of all his qualities, this absolute surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission comes out 100%. During his time, there was one very unfortunate incident. There was a really powerful yogi who claimed to be an incarnation of Mahavishnu, who had come to throw the British out of India. In India, you will say, what? Mahavishnu throws out the British people? That doesn't sound like Mahavishnu. In Bengal, TK, no problem. You know, the Indians think differently. Many more things are possible in an Indian mind than in a Western mind. So, and that is good often, but it's a different type of thinking. So, he was at that time a judge in Puri, and he got reports about this incarnation of Mahavishnu who met with the ladies of high class people in the night in the jungle to engage in his own Rasa Leela performance with them. Highly immoral, in other words. And Bhaktivinoda took it upon himself to confront this yogi, and the yogi was really powerful. He was incarcerated, imprisoned, but from the prison, imagine, he worked his occult powers on Bhaktivinoda, who became half paralyzed, and on his family, who became deadly sick. And the yogi said, I will save you from my wrath. I, Mahavishnu, will pardon you if you let me out of this prison. Otherwise, your family will die and you will die. Oh, ho, ho. Bhaktivinoda's answer was, justice must prevail. You will be properly judged by an ordinary, by our court, because you are an ordinary man. And he, with full surrender, went through this excruciating pain and ordeal, and ultimately was he was convicted. There were many, 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 many followers of him protesting against his imprisonment and using all types of pressure. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur remained totally dependent on Krishna, and ultimately this demon, we must say, died, and everything was over. Fully surrendered. So he wrote one song collection, which is held, I'm going now into his influence after his time, in the highest esteem, because, my dear devotees, it focuses on the one nuclear or core teaching of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It is also the core teachings of other forms of Vaishnavism, like The Sri Sampradaya also has this. It is surrender to Krishna's will. If you want to be a proper devotee, you don't need to know many things. You need to only know how to surrender, really. And it will become very clear why this is so. Yeah, your will, O Krishna, may happen. My will is not so important. I will follow your will. That type of surrender is, you need to know. It's really, if you want to cross an ocean, do you need to know how high the waves are? If you are in the ocean, do you need to understand all the currents, the temperatures of the currents, how they appear, from where the Gulf current comes? No, you just need to know one thing, how to swim. What you do with the hands, what you do with the legs. Gaur Krishna does not yet know how to swim, but he will learn. I'm determined, but it's a skill you need in life. In spiritual life, you are absolutely dependent on it. You need to know when it's time to surrender and how to do it, how to manage it. Why? In this shloka which we have heard today, it says there are two types of persons. Those who are Sharanagati, who have surrendered, and those who are Akinchana, who are absolutely free from selfish desires. So they have very similar symptoms, the surrendered soul and the fully renounced or free soul from everything else. But the one who practices Sharanagati has an amazing lakshana which makes him extremely fortunate. So I read to you Prabhupada's translation and I will then read to you another translation. There are two kinds of devotees. Those who are fully satisfied and free from all material desires, that's the Akinchan souls, and those who are fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord. Their qualities are one and the same. No? Those who are free from the selfish desires and the fully surrendered. Their qualities are absolutely the same. But those who are fully surrendered to Krishna's lotus feet are qualified with another transcendental quality, something which really immediately lifts them out of all the various spiritually advanced people. They are Atma Samapan, fully surrendered without reservation. Now, someone who is surrendered to Krishna, he something happens to him which is really amazing. That's said in text 102. Sharana lano kore Krishna atma samapana Krishna tare kare tat kale atma sama. When a devotee thus fully surrenders unto Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna accepts him as one of his confidential associates. Let me summarize. When you become very, renounced, when you become free from material desires, you are amazingly qualified in your spiritual life, but not as qualified as when you finally surrender your independent will and you surrender to Krishna's lotus feet. Then Krishna accepts you as his confidential associate. Another translation. Although a devotee who surrendered to Krishna, Sharanagata, and a devotee who is detached from this world, Akinchan, have the same external characteristics, the surrendered devotee has the superlative qualification of having fully offered their very soul to Krishna. And as soon as a surrendered soul takes shelter of Krishna and fully offers themselves to Krishna, Krishna immediately accepts them as his own, as an associate equal to himself. Have you followed, or is it too much philosophy on an empty stomach? You can understand? Now, I know some of us are just barely happy. They just made it. They were sleep, a little sleepy and a little, oh, life is so tough on them. I can see it in your faces. So I will now be super simple and super, no longer high sounding words. Let's get to the essence, man. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's surrender reflected in his schedule, what he daily did. He rose at 12 o'clock. What did he do in those at 12 o'clock? He wrote his books. He left the world, I once counted it, but now I'm not so sure. I remember 120 books, original writings, translations of Vedic scriptures, everything, poems. He was very, very creative. Then he chanted in the early morning hours, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, Brahma Muhurta. Of course, he must have felt a little, getting up so early, a little, let me say, yeah, he was up for a long time. So his neighbor has this writing. His neighbor who lived next door said Bhaktivinoda Thakur had in his garden, where there were fresh breezes coming from the Ganga, he had a chair built out of cement. So if you sat on it, it was cooling. Cement absorbs the night chill. And he was chanting. But how he was chanting? The neighbor said it sounded as if someone was calling someone else. Krishna, Krishna. Like you call for instance, I often call my assistant, go Krishna, go Krishna. And then he have to come, and then he comes. So in that way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was really calling out to Krishna. Then he did bhajans. He had a little room, you can see it like this, only this from here, look at my hands, this wide and this long. And he closed it and he was sitting there chanting and focusing on Krishna. And bhajan, what does it mean? Singing to Krishna, meditating about Krishna, confidential worship, that is bhajan. I don't know what this eternally liberated soul did. Then at 9 o'clock, he ate 2 chapatis and a little milk, breakfast. Bus. Then, if there was visitors, he preached to the visitors. He had to also manage the Namahata. And then he would go around noontime to the court, where he did his judgments. It is said that he was very quick. He used to read the case, he used to ponder it, and then he made a judgment on the spot without research. And it is said his judgments were extremely precise. You know, Judges are sometimes reviewed, how are they doing? And to make a good judgment about a case is not a gut feeling. You have to know law in and out. You have to know different complications of law. You have to know judgments, good judgments, which were done in the past, because a judgment can really very much influence the life of a human being. It's very, very responsible work, as responsible, maybe even more, than surgical invasion. When you do a mistake in a surgical invasion, you ruin a human being, which is great violence. If you do a mistake in your judgment, you can also ruin the life of someone else. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very fast, amazing fast. His colleague said, we take hours, he does it in 5 minutes, and it's good. Then he took some, I don't know about his lunch, I've forgotten, but he returned at around 7 o'clock in the evening, ate, spent some time with the family, and then was in bed by 8, because when did he rise? 12. When? 9 o'clock, someone said. No? 12. Yes. So that was his schedule. Pah! That is a schedule of a surrendered soul. So he wrote this song collection. There are many song collections, but there's Gita Bali, Gita Mala, Kalyana Kalpataru, and of course the big words works Pratana. He translated, but these are original works. He's known really, something I don't want to say, but everyone says Sharanagati, you have to read this, you must read it, because it expresses the heartbeat, the pulse of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Not many things are necessary. If you know how to leave the covering of the false ego aside, which pushes you and which forces you to act in the modes and become an instrument, a surrendered instrument, then this is wonderful. Sharanagati must be done, according to our scriptures, with three. Tavasmiti vadan vacha, says the Chaitanya Charitamrita, taiva manasa vidvan, tatstanam ashritas tanva, modate sharanagata. The body is there, or declaring with their words, I am yours, tavasmiti. Knowing within their minds, I am yours. And then taking shelter of your abode with their bodies, the surrendered soul rejoices. Should I read it again for you? Declaring with their words, I am yours. Knowing this within their minds, and then taking shelter of your abode with their body, the surrendered soul rejoices. Rejoices means he's joyful, he's happy. Surrender requires not only the body. Okay, Prabhu, I'm doing it. Oh. That's not, you have to know it in your mind, and you have to do it. Now, in this verse, which is appears in Hari Bhakti Vilas, and it's quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the main point is words mind and body. That's how you surrender. Words, you say it. Mind, you think it and believe it. And body, you do it. That's a surrendered soul which makes you happy. I find it very interesting that the surrendered soul, in this verse, takes shelter with his body where? It's a little early for you. A spiritual world? Well, that's a holy place in this world. I think it says something. We have a few very surrendered souls here in Radha Desh who really do tremendous service in the kitchen department, in the temple president department, in the building department. There's a lot going on behind the scenes here. Someone who wants to surrender says, let me go to a place where I'm relatively safe from the modes of material nature, and I do it. So in old times, everyone, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and were mostly situated in India, not globally, they would go to Vrindavan and surrender there and do this there as the ultimate thing. So on the practice surrender, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not a theoretical speaker, but a practical speaker. He has written one song which his son, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, has singled out as the song which should be sung by devotees to clean their minds, to bring them to the level where they can joyfully surrender. Just like in India, people will, every morning, the housewife will sweep the apartment or house and before the house so that all the dust and the straw is removed. In the same way, a devotee should sing this song to clean with a broom his mind and make it ready for willingness to surrender. Would you like to hear the song?
Yes.
Well, are you sure? I call it the atom bomb song because it's really heavy. No problem?
No problem.
Good. Go, Krishna? No problem. Amara jivan sada paperata nahi kapunyera. I like this melody because it's immediately very serious. This is addressing the path, the essence of the path. It is not something which the false ego will like. Listen, my life is always engrossed in sin. There is not even a trace of piety within it. I have caused others so much anxiety and trouble. The great Shankaracharya has written, Papuham, Papa Kamaham, Papatma, Papa Sambhava. I'm sinful. My actions are sinful. My soul is sinful. My birth is sinful. It means a total deconstruction of our self-inflated concepts amongst about ourselves. And it is based on an understanding that nothing here is real. This is not for the lighthearted. It means I have left the kingdom of God out of my own volition. It was me who made this step. And I'm now, after doing this impossible thing, breaking with the most and only relationship, I find myself in a compromised position now. Mind, body, words, birth even, everything is tainted by this great mistake. I'm never afraid to engage in sinful activities for the sake of my own happiness. I'm merciless and selfish. I'm distressed by the happiness of others. I'm a perpetual liar, and the distress of others pleases me very much. There are unlimited desires within the core of my heart. I'm angry, I'm arrogant, I'm always maddened with vanity, infatuated with mundanity, and ornamented with malice and pride. I'm subdued by laziness. Subdued means overcome. I'm in the grip of this. I'm subdued by laziness and sleep. I'm averse to performing good deeds and eager to perform sinful deeds. I engage in deceitful behavior. I cheat in pursuit of prestige. I'm ruined by greed and constantly covetous. I know some of you will already say, enough, enough, I can't hear this. Listen to more. We are talking about a very straight path out of this world. This means deconstruction of our conceptually imagined reality. Such a sinner as I is shunned by devotees and is a constant offender. I am devoid of virtuous motives. I am devoid of virtuous motives, always intent upon evil and wrecked by various miseries. Now aged, I am devoid of any means of deliverance. And thus, destitute and distressed, Bhaktivinod submits this remorseful confession at the feet of the Lord. Now you might say at the end of the song, oh, it's Bhaktivinod, it's not me. He is about him. He writes an autobiographical song. I'm not so bad, you know. I'm a little lazy when it comes to yoga, but I do unlimited sinful desires. Well, I don't know about that, but it's not that bad. I'm angry. Well, sometimes get angry. This is an exaggeration. My dear devotee, you have a blind spot about yourself. We are, if you measure yourself in relationship to others, you might have a good case here. But if you measure yourself in the Vaishnava ideal of being an associate with the Lord and living only for his pleasure, you have to ask the question, how often do I think of Krishna purposefully and of devotion? Anyways, that's the broom. That's a heavy broom. It's an iron broom, in my opinion, which is used to get the soul clean from having fallen in the mud of material existence. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur by no means there are other very hopeful songs, and I want to end with here I found it finally, with a hopeful song, so that you will glorify him and not become afraid of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He wrote in another song, how do we sing this? Emana Duma, Emana, Emana. Yeah. Emana Dumati Sangsara Bitare Padiyai Chino Ami. Let's try. Emana Dumati Sangsara Bitare Padiyai Chino Ami. These are evergreens. I'm a most sinful-hearted person and have fallen into this material world. But you have sent a great soul, your own associate, to rescue me. Seeing my fallen condition and being merciful to me, they, apparently many, came to me and said, "O humble soul, please listen to this wonderful message and your heart will rejoice." I think we all need that after the heavy broom song. Huh? Sri Krishna Chaitanya has descended in Navadvip to deliver you. Yes! He has already safely conducted many humble and fallen souls like you across the ocean of material existence. He has come to fulfill the prophecies of the Vedas. Are you listening or are you dozing out? He has come to fulfill the prophecies of the Vedas. He has appeared with a golden complexion as a Brahmana's son, bearing the name Mahaprabhu, and he has driven all of Nadia mad with prema in the company of his brother Nityananda. Sri Chaitanya Goswami, we say, who is Nanda Sutta himself, who's Nanda Sutta? Krishna, yes, has delivered the universe by distributing his own name, yes. You too should go now to him and accept your deliverance. Oh, Hari, hearing this message, I have come before your feet. Crying incessantly, Bhaktivinoda tells the story of his life. Extremely personal rendition of devotional feelings. He says, you have a chance. Although you are fallen in the material world, although you are covering with dirt, don't concentrate on this now. Concentrate on the happy tiding, the most merciful incarnation of the Lord. Sri Krishna Chaitanya has appeared, Mahaprabhu. There's also another Mahaprabhu does, has appeared to safely bring people across the ocean of samsara. It's very simple what he has given. He does not, in another song, does not consider at all our disqualifications. If you have that one qualification, that is, you come to him and you beg him for the holy name. This is the happy news which Bhaktivinoda Thakur brings us. A happy news which is echoing through the times which have come after him. A happy news, which is our saving grace, even in this modern time, in 2019. The happy news is, go to the great savior of the East. That's how he would call Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Our great savior, and get from him the holy name. And you will be safely rowed across. I thank you very much. I hope I could share with you my enthusiasm for Bhaktivinoda Thakur's revolutionary gift. He was a worshipper of Gadai Gauranga and Gadadha. He had these deities in his home, which indicate a very confidential aspect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, something we cannot go into at this moment. And it is interesting that when he disappeared on the day where his beloved Gadadha disappeared, it shows a deep connection, and it shows a deep absorption, really, a deep, deep, deep absorption. In Gadai Gauranga, Gauranga Mahaprabhu with Gadadha. Good. So I look at the clock, it is already 9 o'clock. What should we do now? Should we maybe end with one little Hare Krishna, Mahaprabhu? Because we fast this morning, so we have a little extra time by the... Just short, very short kirtan. Something very sweet. Sweet. As they say in Bengal. Yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, but not so high. Hare Krishna, please turn towards the altar. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sing Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Thank you.
Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Tapupara, 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 chila papupada. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Sri Radhe. Gaura Prema Nandi Hari 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 Bom.
My dear devotees, please allow me to just say something which I feel is of value. Just 1 minute. Of course, I do think as a lecturer about what I say, and I know surrendering is not easy. I know this. I remember in my childhood, one of our close friends had bought an old house, and we advised him, I didn't know anything, but my parents and others advised him, if it's so old, you will have problems with it. You better tear it down and build a new house there. And he said, no, it's antique and so on. And he tried to build with that old house in mind, and he tried to construct something, and in the end, after 2 years, there was a major leakage, and we said, you should have listened. Now is the problem. You need to tear everything down. And he eventually did it and built a new house. There is a statement in Bhakti, in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where he says, before construction of the new takes place in spiritual life, the old has to be deconstructed. It means, in practical terms, yes, this material existence which we have is based on the separated identity, you know, separated from Krishna. And it is an old house. It is not serving us very, very well. Our thoughts, our happiness, our distress, everything is centered on this which is not true. Now, to deconstruct the whole thing is practically impossible for a human being. It is not possible to do that. How can he do this? But so what we do in Krishna consciousness, we do small steps, doable steps of surrender. And by this, a disposition enters where you like doing it. Don't do too big of steps, because you will hurt your mental, your subtle body too much, and it you will develop a resistance against this. It's very important. Not too big steps, because we cannot do, we have not the adhikar to do it. But think of small steps which you do of surrender, where, you know, maybe someone asked you, can you please do this service, you know, collect the cushions on which everyone sat and put them in the corner of the temple room. And you may think, no, I had a plan to now eat prasadam, but you can, it needs to be done, then you do it, it takes 1 minute, it's within your capability. And as you do these small steps, which you presently can do, you will begin to get a good muscle. Many devotees do two big steps and then they need a pause for a long time. Because, yes, we need to practice according to our abilities. For instance, you can't go for a long time with not sufficient amount of sleep. It's not possible. The mind will revolt and then all kinds of dysfunctionalities come. But do small, doable steps, and you will see very soon the path opening for you in Krishna consciousness, and you will rejoice doing it. It is pleasurable. So, yes. Thank you very much. Now I will stop here. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.